Welcome to the Shrinking Man Project. Hello, everyone. This is Doc Coleman, the Shrinking Man, and it is time for this year's special episode from Balticon 47. For those of you listening on the Balticon 47 feed, this episode is a crossover episode with my weight loss podcast, The Shrinking Man Project. For listeners to The Shrinking Man Project, if you haven't checked out the Balticon 47 wrap-up feed, you should, because there is lots of great material there. Just check for a link in the show notes of this episode. Now, this episode was recorded on Friday, May 24th, 2013, at 7 p.m. My guests for the episode were Starla Hutchton, Lauren Scribe Harris, and Veronica Jaguar. Justin McCumber was also supposed to be on the panel, but he got called away on a family emergency, and we didn't find out about it until after the recording was over. For this year's Balticon, our panel is looking at how to break out of a slump. It is something that happens to everyone, and we each have to find our own ways to deal with it. So please listen while Doc's Angels help set me straight once again. Enjoy! The Shrinking Man Project, Special Episode 5, Balticon 47, live. No, let's leave the door open. Let's get people in here. It's not like they're going to make a lot of noise.
You underestimate them.
Well, we still want to leave the door open in case Justin chooses to join us. All right, so welcome to another episode of the Shrinking Man Project live at Balticon. This is the third year that we've done this, and every year we try to change things up a little bit and aim the topic not only at weight loss and life change, but also at something to doing with creativity and to tie it in with the whole sci-fi theme. I am Doc Coleman. I am the Shrinking Man. Let's see, I'm currently at 320 pounds, which puts me 100 pounds down from when I started on my weight loss. It's not the lowest that I've been, but it's still 100 pounds less than I was a couple years ago, and that's a damn good start. Yep. And up here on the panel, I have with me a bevy of angels.
Doc's Angels?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a picture for later.
Yes. That would be an excellent picture for later. There we go. So we have...
Describe video, our audio on this.
We have Starla Hutchton.
Hutchton.
I'm sorry. I keep wanting to put the T in a different place when I pronounce it Hutchton.
I never protest. It's okay. Sorry. I forgive you.
Thank you. And yes. We have Lauren Harris, also known as Scribe, and the lovely Veronica Jaguar.
Hi.
So we're not lovely. Starla and I are just what, chopped liver?
No.
No, y'all are awesome no. And gorgeous.
Yes.
That's, you were the only one that got an epithet, so I don't know.
No, but she's been the lovely Veronica Jaguar for quite a long time.
I don't dispute that.
I don't have a cool handle like you do.
Okay.
So... The topic for this year is breaking out of a slump, because I know as far as my diet and exercise goes, I've been in a slump for a while, and in everything you do, you start off with great enthusiasm, you go strong for a while, and then you hit a point where other things start to bog you down. And that happens in maintaining an exercise program, in trying to write a novel, in trying to podcast your damn novel and get it out on a regular schedule. So I'd like to ask the panel, what kind of things do you find that you have done when you have have run into a slump, how do you get your energy back?
I ask other people to kick me in the butt.
It's okay. Sometimes similar for me. Sometimes accountability works, and asking other people to hold me accountable. Normally what happens, though, is I get really enthusiastic for about 2 weeks, and then the third week, I'm, like, shoving myself through this, going, I can't disappoint myself again. I can't do this. The fourth week is comprised of tears, and then after I have hit that rock bottom point, I'm like, okay, I need to get my shit together, and I need to just go, and then I reconfigure everything in my head and start the cycle over. So that's normally what happens with me.
So it's a very emotional month.
Yeah. Everything.
I think it's a lot, like what you said, Starlight, which you said, Scribe, it's a lot about picking yourself and going, okay, somebody else help. Somebody else just, like, poke me about this. Wanting to keep a streak. Wanting to maintain, have that record, like, but I was doing so well for so long. Well, I'll have to start it all over again. Eh, I can start it all over again. But it's difficult, and I think the bigger problem is when you're trying to restart, you have to reprioritize too, because you've slipped, but other things take priority, so you have to go back. It's like, okay, well, when this was working, I had this schedule, and this was the most important, and now other stuff has come up over it. So it's kind of getting back to square one and figuring out what's really important, what do I need to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very much one of those people that if I don't have anybody to be accountable to, then I just don't keep going with it. So whether it's, you know, weight loss or whether it's with the writing, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever it is that I'm doing, book cover, whatever, you know, I need to have almost like sometimes a deadline, sometimes just somebody else there either cheering you on or saying, hey, you're screwing it up. You know, it helps me to have that and know that I'm not in it by myself.
Right.
With certain things, that helps me, but I sometimes find, and because everybody is different and has different ways that they do things, I sometimes find being held accountable by other people works if things are going well, but if I have already slipped, admitting the failure in mm-hmm. some ways is really hard and makes me avoid it even more, because it's like going back to it makes you have to admit that you fell off the wagon. And so sometimes that can be really hard. So a lot of times I just have to make the decision and make it my priority myself, and no one else can force me to do that with accountability. That's how I work for most things. But sometimes, like, having deadlines I find very useful. Mm-hmm. But once I've fallen off the wagon, somebody else poking at me just makes me irritable. It just makes me, like, why are you expecting all this of me? You asked me to. I don't care. Shut up. Go away.
Okay. A lot of people out there, I know, tend to try to go things alone. It's when you don't... Sometimes you're trying to do something that you've never really done before, and I guess the question I'm trying to get to is how do you go about finding the person to ask for help? Everyone has mentioned having someone to help you be accountable, or finding someone to help you account for yourself. And the real problem is, how do you find that person? If you're not lucky enough to already have a person like that in your life, how do you go about finding one?
Twitter.
Well, she's got a valid point. Like, there's a lot to be said as far as social media
Lord knows,
goes.
Lord knows a lot of life coaches will find you.
I've found the person that she calls me her writing wife. I call her my creative sounding board. But I found her. I was playing Second Life at the time, and that's how I met her. So I'm fortunate enough in that in the creative aspect of what I do, the writing side, I have that person. And then if you're talking about the weight loss side, you know, then I've got my husband, you know, when he's not deployed, you know, making sure that, and I feel he may not be, you know, actually, you know, watching everything that I'm eating or whether or not I'm exercising, but there's that sense that, you know, somebody is there keeping an eye on you.
Right. You know?
I tend to find that finding a community, even if it's an online community, not necessarily to keep an eye on you, but to keep you interested in the topic mm-hmm. and interested in the, I guess, the culture of whatever the thing is that you're trying to achieve really right. helps. Like recently on my podcast, we decided to start having a writing group again to talk about our own writing, mm-hmm. Not just talk about writing in general. And that has helped keep some of our members who were not getting a lot of writing done interested and excited about doing their own writing. So just having that community and having someone to talk to and sound ideas off of and stuff like that really oftentimes helps to keep the enthusiasm for it up so you don't fall out in the first place. And there are lots of great places online to do that, like Meetup is a good place to find communities locally to that are interested in various things. And then, you know, Twitter, message boards.
Right. We were actually talking somewhat about this at dinner earlier today, that that's one of the things that I wanted to do with the Shrinking Man Project is not just have this be about me and my attempts at weight loss and about the weight loss efforts of the guests that I have on, but to also put it open to all of the people out in the audience who are listening to talk about what they're having problems with, what they're having successes with. And PC reminded me to put that statement out to people. So if you're listening to the podcast, if you're either here in the room at Balticon or listening to this later when it goes in the feed, that I do want to hear your stories. I'm sure there are other people out there who want to hear your stories, either, you know, things that you found that worked or problems that you've run into. If we can talk about them on the podcast, maybe we can find somebody who can help you out with it. We've had a limited amount of success with that on Facebook with the Fans of the Shrinking Man Project group, but I'd really like to see some more activity. It's kind of fits in spurts right now. And I know it would help motivate me to get more podcasts out, to see more people being active.
So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, it is.
But once you get the ball rolling and you have proof of what you're doing right, then it's easier to mm-hmm. keep going. So it's getting that first hurdle. If it's writing, it's that first 1,000 words or that first 5,000 mm-hmm. words. If it's weight loss, it's that first, you know, that, what,
it's usually like 20, that first 5 pounds.
The 5 pounds. What's the rule of? Is it like a percentage?
There's a 5% rule that Weight Watchers uses that when you start off, you take your starting weight, and your first goal is to lose 5% of that. So it usually works out to be something like 10 or 11 pounds. So
sort of what you're talking about is trying to create that sense of community around the podcast for the podcast listeners mm-hmm. to help keep people interested and engaged in the topic of in the topics of creativity and fitness.
Right. Yeah, I'd really like that because that would definitely help me engage. I mean, I don't really want to give up. I don't want to give up this podcast, but I've got a lot of other things I'm trying to do. I've got other creative endeavors, but I still feel like this podcast has something to give out to the wider community. I feel like the reason that you ladies were willing to come here today and be part of this is because you also believe that there's value in what I'm doing.
Well, from the perspective of someone who teaches, when I'm not making funny noises into a microphone for other people's stories, I work with college students who are coming back from academic probation. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the students I work with, it's never a case of getting bad grades because they're stupid. At the higher ed level where I'm at, you don't fail out because you're stupid. You fail out because other aspects of life get in the way and you don't know how to manage them well. And part of getting back into the swing of things is figuring out what motivates you and how to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. This podcast is, it's that, you know, two-pronged, whatever you have it, it's a tool for accountability because you have an audience and you're putting it out. If right. you have a schedule, there are fans. They will go, where's the next episode? And even if it's I updated, this should be updated. Why isn't this updating the post?
But it's also, you know, that track record. It's that motivation. So you can go back and check the episodes. Like, well, I've done some. I'll just do another one. I'm more ahead than I am behind, so I may as well do another one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes it's just it's slogging through that second act. Sometimes you got to get through The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back is my favorite of the Star Wars films, by the way. Just put that out there.
Because as an audience, we love the second act. We love to watch the heroes slog through and triumph. And then at the end, you put up with Ewoks. But we as an audience, we love the second act. But so sometimes you, as the, you know, as the person who's going through it, it's not fun. But that accomplishment through it, the motivation, the accountability, it's there. Just don't get your hand cut off. That would be bad.
Or frozen in carbonite.
You know, or frozen in carbonite.
Yeah. That was, I mean, spoilers. But
no. Oh, I am your father.
No.
Whinier.
That's a good trick. You're a lot younger than I. Damn time machines.
We're at a geek.
Thank you, doctor.
We have some of that, right?
Yes.
Okay, where am I going from?
We confused Doc.
Totally threw him off.
I tell you to mute me. But...
Now what?
All right.
How's your creativity been lately? If that's just completely off from the track, you can ask a different question. And
no,
actually,
that's a good one. I feel like I've been more creatively inspired to work with something or to work on projects, but I also feel like the projects that I'm inspired to work on are not the ones I ought to be working on. So I guess I'm creatively conflicted because I've been finding it a lot easier. I've got projects that I need to go back through and edit and work on a second draft and work the story into a more polished version, add some things, remove some things. But what I've been most inspired to do is actually work on a completely brand new novel and deal with mapping out new characters and new scenarios, completely different genre. And there is a lot of feeling conflicted in that.
I actually just watched this again. I had heard this person speak before. It's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. Has this really great TED Talk. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Talking about the muse. Mm-hmm. And how sometimes you have to have a conversation with your muse and say, I can't do this right now. Come back a little bit later, and we will totally do this. We'll get this done. So I have a lot of the same problem because I'm working on a series right now, nearly done with the third book in it. And but I found at a certain point in the second book, I was just getting this deluge of ideas for completely other different things entirely. So I have a file where I type out these little, sometimes it's just one or two sentences, sometimes it's like three paragraphs, you know, or more. And I put them away for later. And those are my cookies. I get to have those after I've done the work that I have to do. So it's a good tool to use to just kind of say, okay, Muse, we've got this here. We'll do this later. But we got to be here and focus on this thing right here.
You've been putting away your creative cookies for later.
Yes.
And they're little.
They are tasty cookies.
Creative cookies are always extra tasty.
That said, there is also something to be said for seizing the muse when it comes, because sometimes there are dry spells, and most of the time we writers have to work with just disciplining ourselves to put the butt in the chair and get words out. So when you do get excited about a project, sometimes it's nice to get a good first spurt, but I do find a lot of times if I've got that and I've got other things I need to be doing, I do get distracted by guilt halfway through and end up leaving the project I was inspired on to go back to work on the thing I feel guilty about. And then I feel guilty about not finishing the thing I was inspired on.
Right.
And it's a terrible cycle.
Now, I know...
So you gotta have your cookie jar.
Cookie jar.
Cookie jar. Mm-hmm. I gotta rename my file now.
this year I've been inspired by some of the things that PC has done and that Veronica have been doing.
She looks very confused
yes,
right now.
Yes, you're confused, and you let me say the next sentence, it'll all make sense.
Okay.
Dealing with the magic spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah. Magic spreadsheet's awesome.
See? It made sense instantly.
Well, you've for been those doing that, a lot of that.
I have been doing. For those who are not familiar, the magic spreadsheet is a spreadsheet somebody put together to give you points for writing every day. It's building the discipline of writing. And it's online as a Google Doc for right now. They're actually trying to build it into a more fully featured application, but it's being done completely in spare time by people who believe in it, and they haven't had as much spare time lately as they thought they were going to. But basically, you start off with a target of 250 words a day, and for each day you hit that, you get a point, and you also get a point for doing 250, or if you do 500, you get 2 points. If you do 1,000, you get 3 points. If you do 2,000 words, you get 4 points. And the way to advance quickly is by maintaining writing chains, where you are writing every single day, because for that, if it's the 30th day of your writing chain, you get 30 points for consistency plus the points that you get for writing for the words you've actually written. And I managed to keep my writing chain going for 46 days until I came home and collapsed after a long day at work and slept through to the next day and lost a whole day. And I found it hard to get back at it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that what you just hit 100 days, PC?
I broke 120 the day before I flew out here.
Okay. And you're up there as well, aren't you?
120 was this morning in Panera. Wow. And I had one of my other co-authors who is not in the podcasting scene yet, and he will be soon, only because he's going to write awesome things, and I'm going to read them, and he'll just have to deal with it.
And he'll be dragged kicking and screaming.
Podcasters absorb people.
He will. But I know he's had trouble with motivation, and having somebody else there to poke and prod and goad, it doesn't always work well. But with something like the magic spreadsheet, there's that level of personal accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It is public. I mean, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's a Google Docs spreadsheet. You put in your name. You can put in your Twitter handle. You can give yourself a word count. You can remind yourself of what you're writing. And then you just start filling in tracks. And the formulas, if you're familiar with any kind of spreadsheet, it's not bad. It's a little confusing, but you can work through it.
Hmm.
But if you're motivated, if you like playing video games where you just get points and level up.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like break the chain with points. And
if you keep your chain unbroken for about 30 days, you'll accumulate enough points to level up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you level up, your daily word count goes up by 50 words.
Mm.
So I managed to hit level 2, so now my daily word count is 300 words. Mm-hmm. Although on the days I actually sit down and get to write, usually if I can get past 250, it's usually easy for me to get up close to 500. And if I'm especially inspired, I'll get over 1,000 really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem I've been having, though, is because I've been dealing with a lot of things at work and with my home life that are eating up a lot of my time. I usually find myself sitting down and trying to get my word count in late at night. So there's also a rule of thumb for editing, that if you're editing, you take like 10% of the words that you've gone through editing, and that counts as your word count. But editing takes more time than writing.
Yeah.
And when I'm really desperate to get in word count quick, it's usually easiest to write new words in something that you're looking at as being really fun, which usually ends up taking me off of the project I should be working at and starting something else. And that leads to more conflicted feelings, which doesn't straighten things out very much. So one of the things that I've decided that I'm going to do is I'm kind of taking a little breather here for Balticon so I can enjoy the con currently. But when I get back from Balticon, I'm going to knuckle down on working on the second revision of Perils of Prague. And my goal is to go through doing the revision and get the second draft done, recruit beta readers for it, and get it in front of some eyeballs and get something out so that by the end of the summer, I want to be in a position that I can start thinking about putting together a book and a podcast to actually get the story out there where people can see it.
Now, so, if you're anything like me, the hardest part about getting daily writing in is starting. And something that I have recently worked through, because I recently quit my job, my day job.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that?
That was at the beginning of March. And I've been working a part-time job and not working out great. I'm moving back in with my parents, so there's a little bit of guilt happening, but I had to quit that job.
So you're at the end of your second cycle of panic.
Yes, I'm moving into that sort of fugue state where nothing matters right now. But no, it's actually, things are turning out well, but that wasn't the point. The point was, during the first couple of weeks after I quit, I decided to go back through and do a big productivity overhaul, because that's one of the things that I really need to work on. I'm attention deficit, so I have a really hard time focusing on things. And one of the things I did was a 14-day productivity makeover. But along the way, I discovered some other tools, and the single most useful one I found is called the Pomodoro technique.
Yep.
And you have a timer, and you set it for 25 minutes. And for those 25 minutes, you just start working on the first thing on your to-do list. And after the 25 minutes, you take a 3 to 5 minute break. And after that break, you get up, you go to a different physical location and sort of refresh your brain. And then you come back and you sit back down and do another 25 minutes. And you do that for 3 or 4, they call the measurement Pomodoros.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a Pomodoro, like a tomato timer.
Okay.
That's where the name of the technique came from. And it has been very, very useful. But after you do 3 or 4 of those, you take a longer break. And I tend to try to write out a schedule in the mornings and do 6 to 9 Pomodoros worth of work every day. And usually I find once I get started, I just ignore the timer. But if it's hard, I can convince myself 25 minutes is not that long. So I can convince myself to start. It's like tricking your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really helpful.
It's a really, the nice part about it is it, there's enough research behind it that it, I mean, it is legit. The pamphlet that you can go to the website, if you Google Pomodoro technique, you'll find the website, you'll find, you know, notes about, you can buy your own little Pomodoro timer. But the PDF that describes everything is totally, I mean, it's free. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where I have the PDF downloaded and referenced, and I'm going to be teaching it to my students in the fall because it's more applicable and it works better for those of us who do a lot of different things.
So I highly recommend it.
Okay.
And you can, I mean, there are plenty of other podcasters and authors who swear by it.
Mm-hmm. I think I may have actually heard about it from the Get It Done Guy podcast, which is it's one of the Quick and Dirty Tips podcasts, like Grammar Girl.
Okay.
So the podcast is Get It Done Guy's Quick and Dirty Tips to Work Less and Do More. And that's a fun little podcast, too, just to get you started working like, oh, I can't be lazy right now.
See, all this organizational stuff, it's great. And if you find one that works for you, that's, mm-hmm. you know, awesome. But there's so much information on how to get organized. If I spent all that time researching how to get organized, I would never get organized.
I just need to do it. So all you do, you call me, you send me an email. How do I do this? And then I can, you know, it's day job. It's all good.
Yeah. My main motivation for it was I had been working at my job for so long, and it had drained me so much that I wasn't getting anything creative done. So by the time I stopped that job, I didn't want to just be back where I was when I came home from Japan, which was 6 months unemployed, and I didn't really get anything done because I just couldn't get on the ball. And so I decided I wasn't going to fall into that. And so I just started to try to do something proactive about it. And it has helped me get a to-do list set up, get my priorities straight. So it's not necessary for everyone. If you're getting your writing done and you're getting stuff like that done, you may not even need it. But for those who may need a sort of creative or productivity overhaul, I highly recommend it.
Now, the other... Now, it's one thing to have a method like that to say this is how you approach something, and another thing to actually be able to carry it off. Because usually the big thing that gets in the way for trying to plan out how you're going to use your time is other people who end up wanting part of your time. And they usually come in about, a minute and 20 seconds after you get started. And they don't want to wait. They have a need. They want you to fulfill it now. Now, I know Starla and Veronica, you both are mothers with several children. How do you deal with these kind of familial demands on your creative cycle?
I stay up really late at night.
Then the next question is, how do you deal with the sleep deprivation?
Practice.
Yeah.
Because I have to admit, that's what finally got me, was the sleep deprivation.
It's a very fine balancing act. I do it because there are things that I want to do for myself. But, you know, I've still got the things that I need to do for my family. Mm-hmm. So it's really finding that, walking that line where you can be happy with both. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I stay up later, sometimes a good bit earlier, but yeah, I do what I have to do, you know, and squeeze in any spare minute. I usually lock myself in the bathroom for at least 15 minutes once a day, and it's when I sit down on my phone and I'll be writing, and nobody will bother me. So for at least 15 minutes.
Don't laugh. Sometimes that's the only privacy you get.
Yep. Sometimes not even that.
Yes.
I have a 3-year-old, so.
I hear you. I've worked with people, again, working with students, and some of them do have young children, and my job is not to tell them how to parent their kids, because we all have different styles, but the most prevalent piece of advice, and I think the best piece of advice that I give them is you need to set a line where you have time for yourself. You need to prioritize time for yourself, and that means give your children a bedtime and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, you hold that for my younger children, it's 8 o'clock. They get up really early, but 8 o'clock, that's the bedtime. 8:30, the oldest bedtime. 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, you're cutting into my time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting up early for me. I know I'm very productive in the morning.
I am not.
And that's different people working. I can't stay up late. The fact that I stay up late here is
my most creative periods come between like 11 at night and 2 in the morning.
Oh, no, I do. If I'm at home and I've gotten, because what I'll generally do is I'll get an hour's worth of voice work, and then I'll try to sit down and write. It's that second or third cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there, and it's maybe 7:30, 8:30. It's like, this is awesome. There are words, and they're great words. Evening, no. No.
My brain doesn't function before noon. So, like, I can send emails really, and things.
To write, yeah, because we're going to have twice the productivity. Just I'll work in the morning and you'll work at night.
Sounds good.
It would be the next T and Pip from when Pip was down in New Zealand. Writing 24 hours a day.
Well, you can rock the corset. That means I got a dress like two. Funny ears and a top hat. Go for it.
Awesome.
I know... Part of my problem is that I get up at 3:30 in the morning so that I can meet my carpool by 5, because we have a 45-minute drive across town to where we work, and we have to go that early in the morning so that when we're driving back in the afternoon, it's only an hour commute as opposed to a 2-hour commute. And that's just kind of horrible logistics of that. And it's like, all right, if I can actually manage to only have to do 8 hours of work a day, I can deal with that. If I stay late, then I'm losing time to that commute as well. And it usually means that I'm driving by myself because none of my carpoolers are going to stay late just because I need to stay late. And I end up coming home, and then I've got to do all the things at home. And then I'm finally getting to the point where I can start working on writing, and it's already 10 o'clock at night. And that usually means I'm up till midnight or later. And I'm still getting up at 3:30 in the morning the next day.
This is the important go lock yourself for 15 minutes in the bathroom thing. 15 minutes. I get more writing done in that 15 minutes than sitting in front of the computer for an hour. Because I know my time is so limited, so there's a rush on it. And half the time, my writing is actually better because my words are so condensed, so I don't have all these, you know, adverbs and extra things and blah, blah, blah thrown in there.
Adverbs are perfectly good words.
Sometimes.
The campaign to preserve adverbs.
There's something to be said for stealing just those little tiny bits of time during the day when you're not like, oh God, I'm so tired. You know, that, and you have to take whatever spare time you can get sitting in a doctor's waiting room. You know, this is why I have certain apps on my phone so that I can have my writing with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have all my first drafts in the cloud that I'm working on always so that I can have them on the fly. If I've got 5 minutes where, you know, I'm waiting for to pick up an order of something, or, you know, I'm waiting for the doctor to see me, or for one of my kids, or, you know, anything like that.
Now, I know I have, in the past, I have managed to steal time while riding in the carpool. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is driving, and I'm in the backseat of the car, and I've got my phone out, and I'm actually writing something there. It's a lot easier writing than editing, but it can still be done.
If you know this is something that you want to do, and it's important for you personally to get this out and do this work, then you will find a way.
I think it's also important sometimes to recognize that the timing might not be right. And if you're going to burn the candle at both ends, you're going to burn out a lot faster. So sometimes it's important to think about your own health, because if you're not healthy, then you're not going to create good stuff. I mean, I think that's part of the point of the podcast. So if you're getting 2 hours of sleep a night consistently, that's not okay, and you're probably writing crap, and you just don't know. Or you might be writing awesome stuff. Because you're so sleep deprived. It's amazing.
It's very awesome insomnia writing.
That's how I got through college.
Writing those term papers the day before they're due.
The day before?
The night before.
Before? Like a couple hours before?
I mean like from midnight until you actually have to turn them
in. Yes. That's more reasonable.
So. All right. Has anyone in the audience got any questions they'd like to put forward?
Where can I find Magic Spreadsheet?
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah. The easiest thing to do is to go onto Facebook. There is actually a Magic Spreadsheet. Is it a group or a community?
It's a group.
Magic Spreadsheet group, and go and ask to join up and just say, yo, I want to get onto the Magic Spreadsheet. Where do I go? They've currently got it divided into different groups because a lot of people have come to it from different areas. There's like three tabs worth of people who found out about it from Merlafferty's I Should Be Writing. There's a bunch of tabs of people who found out it from G+, and I forget what the other group was.
Stone Coast Writers Group.
Something like that.
Yeah, because I think it started with the Stone Coast Writers Group, and then Mer put it on her site, and then it kind of just worked.
But they're trying to keep it going. They're having some problems because they're running into limits that Google Docs has on the number of formulas. So With May ending soon, have a little patience for them to convert things over for June, because they literally have to go back to existing things and take the formulas and turn them into just numbers and then build the new spreadsheets for the next month, which can be a little bit difficult and time-consuming. But dedicated. Yeah, it is really, really great that they're willing to take their time and effort and keep working at that stuff. And it has been a great tool. It's kind of like a long-term NaNoWriMo. You know, NaNoWriMo is, of course, the sprint, but the Magic Spreadsheet is the marathon. Now, one thing I wanted to come up with, talked about trying to keep at things, but then there's, if you can't find the balance, if you can't balance what you want to do with the things that you have to do, and with just enough fun so that you're still interested in life and don't long for the embrace of death, which lacking the fun is a big part of burnout. If you've gone ahead and you've stumbled and you've broken a chain or you've done something impetuous and screwed up, how do you get back to starting again?
First, recognize you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing is knowing that you're not helpless in a situation. A lot of times you have to let yourself be depressed and cry for a little while and kind of get all of the negative feelings out of the way before you can see clearly. And once you can see clearly, you just have to remind yourself that there is a choice to what you're doing. And you can choose to stop. You can choose to stop one of the things. You can choose to resume the lifestyle that caused you to burn out. Or you can choose to do less of the creative thing. But you always have a choice to change your behavior. And that, even if it's not a good choice, it's still there. And that can be one of the most empowering things, is realizing there is something you can do, even if neither direction looks great.
Any other thoughts?
You said spot on. I mean, that's the basis of, you know, most popular, you know, books on self-help and trying to turn something around. It's recognizing that you own that decision. Being proactive, having a circle of influence in your covey terms, but you own that, and then you're the one who acts outward. And if you choose to incorporate, you know, an old habit back into that fold, great, it's your choice. But no one is making you do that. And it's owning the choice as well as the consequences.
One other thing in this vein that I've found myself having to remind people is that it's not a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It doesn't matter who finishes first. It's a matter of you've come up with something that's important to you, you've striven for it, and you've achieved it. And it doesn't matter how many times you stumble and you fall, and it doesn't matter if you backslide and have to regroup and come at it again. The important thing is that you've set something up for you and kept at it until you accomplish it. One of the biggest characteristics that identifies success is perseverance. Is, you know, the people that give up at the first sign of trouble usually end up with kind of mediocre lives, being pushed around by other events happening to them. The people who go out and do great and amazing things are the people who kept at it no matter what life threw at them. And if you look at the stories that you read, the great stories are the ones about people that are constantly having the world throw crap at them, and they keep going for it. So we all want to be the heroes of our own story and persevere on through that horrible second act, because there's a glorious third act awaiting us all. So it's time to wrap this up, but I'd like to give everyone a chance to pimp their stuff. So, Veronica?
The best way to find me is at voicesbyveronica.com. Or hit me up on Twitter at V for Voice. That's VFORVOICE. And if you type in Veronica Jaguar in Google, you will find me, which is kind of cool.
All right, well, you can find me on my podcast, Pendragon Variety, which is www.pendragonvariety.com, or I blog at Inkstained Scribe, which is http://lscribeharris.blogspot.com. And I'm on Twitter as @MarksMaster.
Starla?
Well, you can find me at starlahutchton.com. And that's mostly, primarily my writing stuff that goes up there, some of my voice work as well. The majority of my design work is on designedbystarla.com. That's where all the book covers and things that I do for artists and authors and publishers are on there, so.
And, of course, I am Doc Coleman, and you can find all my various projects linked off of www.doccoleman.com. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, you can find all the back episodes at theshrinkingmanproject.com. And, of course, if you're interested in my writing and my voice work and other things that I'm doing, you can find my ongoing blog there at swimmingcatstudios.com. And currently the only things that I've got out published are a couple short stories, but you can find those on Amazon, the iTunes Store, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble. Just go and look for search for Doc Coleman, and you'll find them right away. And that's it. Thank you for coming out. Whatever you have set as your goal, keep with it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time. Bye-bye.
So that wraps it up for this episode. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think about the podcast. You can leave comments on the blog at theshrinkingmanproject.com, or you can email me at doc@theshrinkingmanproject.com, or leave a voicemail at 240-745-5022, or head on over to Facebook and join the gang at The Fans of the Shrinking Man Project. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at Scalesley, that's spelled S-C-A-L-E-S-L-E-A. If you have a podcast, please send me your promo so I can feature it on future episodes. Please leave a review on iTunes or Podcast Alley. Reviews help people find the podcast. Please tell your friends about the Shrinking Man Project. If you like the podcast and want to support the production and hosting of future episodes, please feel free to leave something in the tip jar on the website. Above it all, have a good week. Keep losing that weight. I'll talk to you next time. Have a good one. Bye-bye. This podcast is copyright 2013 by The Shrinking Man Project. All rights reserved. The Shrinking Man Project is distributed and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 United States license. That means you're welcome to pass it around, but you can't claim that it's yours, you can't charge money for it, and you can't make changes to the podcast. The Shrinking Man Project is a Swimming Cat Studios production. For more information and show notes, go to theshrinkingmanproject.com. I think we're just going to go ahead and get started without Justin. Right. So,
I haven't seen him. I don't even know if he's here yet.
He is.
Oh, he
I
is.
I saw him. I tackled him.
I saw him yesterday. I saw him today.
No, he was tweeting about arriving or Facebooking something.
Yeah.
One of those. Right. He was social media in about well, that arriving.
Yeah. I tend to tackle my authors to help me make money. So
nice.
Do we need
also,
to
that's
pass?
What it takes.
What?
Yep. They're sharing a mic. I was just saying, do we need to pass him down?
No, okay. The hug was good. That was really good.
So, can we get started?
No.
Sorry, sir.